Whatever you're working on, the idea that you can finesse something rather than using the hammer to hit all the nails is really a super important piece to accessing your power, your personal power in life and business.
Welcome to the Unstoppable Woman podcast, where we explore what it means to create a truly exquisite life. I'm your host, Amira Alvarez, inviting you to be part of these intimate conversations about feminine ambition, what lies beyond traditional notions of success, and how to answer the question, what's next when you've already achieved so much? Let's dive in.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Unstoppable Woman podcast. I'm Amira Alvarez, the founder and CEO of The Unstoppable Woman, and today we are in our second episode in our series on captivating power. This is a series that we're sharing with you on transformative strategies for visionary leaders. And if you missed our first episode, go back and listen to that when you're done listening to this episode. The material that we'll be sharing today is fully accessible to you, even if you haven't listened to episode one. But I highly recommend that you go back afterwards and listen because there's some good material there.
Hey there. I just want to take a quick moment and ask, what's the thing holding you back from your own success? The hidden shadow or saboteur potentially at play for you? And do you know how to find it? We often have that one thing keeping us from our next level. And it's not always the strategic move. It's often the internal one. I found in my own journey of success in building my exquisite life, it's what I call a core wound or loyalty pack. What's that? I share more at theunstoppablewoman.com, right on the homepage. Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now, let's get back to our episode.
Okay, so let's start today with this idea that finesse sets you apart. And accessing this, embodying finesse, will change the game for you. But most people think that you have to be loud, you have to be strong, you have to kind of go gangbuster into all the work that needs to be done in your business, whether you're running your own business as an entrepreneur, whether you're running a board, whether you're a CEO, whether you're the chief operating officer. Whatever you're working on, the idea that you can finesse something rather than, you know, using the hammer to hit all the nails analogy is really a super important piece to accessing your power, your personal power in life and business. So let's go into this in a little bit more depth. So when I talk about captivating power, we're talking about captivating ourselves, like falling in love with who we are, being so captivated by how we're showing it up in life that we fall in love with ourselves. And in doing so, we captivate the attention of others and we captivate the attention that we want from the universe. Now, that part is a little woo, I get it, but you know that you can magnetize the opportunities that you desire into your life. Or if you don't know that, I'm here to tell you that you can. And part of the way that you do that is by really owning and embodying your truth, your essence. And that is not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. I cannot say to you, do it like this Barbie doll version of finesse. No, that would not be your unique power. You need to own your unique power. And that means embodying the truth of who you are. And this takes really understanding who you are, who you want to be. Sometimes you're in a place where you're like, this is who I am. This is the truth of who I am, but I'm not quite showing up how I want to be. And to claim and own who you really want to be and start embodying her. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to fall in love with yourself, to captivate yourself. This is both self-centered and not self-centered. So self-centered in a really positive way. Like, think about this. If you can't love yourself, you are not a match to loving others fully, truly, unconditionally. you're always going to set a conditional bar on other people, which means you're going to make them jump through hoops to contort themselves to become someone that you need them to be to make you happy. This is not love. This is conditional acceptance. Okay. And when you are a leader of, say, a team, let's look at this in the business world. If you don't love yourself, if you're not totally, utterly captivated by yourself, and you can unconditionally accept and love yourself, then you're going to be engaging with your team in a way that makes them jump for you. Now, I'm not saying you don't want them to work diligently on your behalf in your business, but if they are working from a place of fear and scarcity, like they have to contort who they are and who they're being in order to feel secure in the workplace, they will be expending so much more energy on trying to stay safe than coming up with innovative, creative ideas, coming up with solutions, thinking outside the box, as the saying goes. So if you don't show up as a model of self-acceptance, self-love, you can't expect other people to be working at that level also. And companies, now I know this is a giant concept for large companies, but if you can set that tone even a little bit in your company and it trickles down, you will be so much better off because people will be creating work out of innovation, out of creativity, out of desire, out of want to express versus fear of disappointing, fear of failure, fear of falling down on the job, which contracts you, okay, which makes you small, and it makes you have a very narrow focus. When you're narrow focused, you don't see the opportunities that are all around you right here, right now, for you to tap into. And this makes business harder. This makes achieving things harder. Now, you could say that this is selfish because you have to fall in love with yourself first. But in the frame that I just shared with you, by doing so, this helps everyone around you. If you are captivating yourself, if you're so in love with who you are in this world, where you're not having that internal dialogue that's beating yourself up, cutting yourself down, making yourself small, saying that you haven't lived up to your expectations in particular ways, if you let go of that to as much as you can, and you captivate yourself, you fall in love with yourself, then you can start falling in love with others and falling in love with life. And this brings joy, this brings safety, this brings delight, this brings opportunities to everyone you touch. So that is less self-centered than you think. It's for the greater good, but it starts with you first. Classic saying on this is, you have to put your oxygen mask on first. But this is one of the hardest things that I think super ambitious, driven women in business are faced with, is that they don't put themselves first. They don't take care of their needs first. And sometimes this looks like not balancing or giving enough weight to self-care. But there's some other very particular things about embodiment that I want to share today that go beyond just self-care. Embodiment is a type of self-care, but it goes beyond the traditional ways we look at self-care. And if you are able to do this and fall in love with yourself and captivate yourself so that you captivate others, so that you share that with others, then you have this toolkit at your fingertips, this finesse. It sets you apart and it makes you irreplaceable and it makes you magnetic, it opens doors for you and it brings you opportunities. So that's what we're going to really dive into next. So finesse is this incredible lever that you can pull. It's this tapping into your power that you have innately in you. Everyone has it, but most people push it aside for fear of standing out or for fear of criticism or for fear of doing it differently. They one size themselves, right? They sort of whitewash their uniqueness. And what I'd love to talk about today is if you tap into your own elegance, your own strength, you showing up that way is a way of accessing this captivating power, this finesse that you have in the world. So what does your elegance and strength look like? Now, it's going to look different than mine. This is the way my elegance and strength looks like today. On other days, it looks different, but it's how I show up in this world. For you, it might be very different. I once had a client when we were going through an exercise to get clarity on this, tell me that her vision was of her in a white linen shirt and blue jeans and some really nice boots. And I could instantaneously see her and see how she embodied when she had that picture of herself and could live into that. She embodied her own power and it was captivating. This then when she walks into a room is a type of finesse. It's like this subtle power that you have to make heads turn. So what does that mean? Now, yes, sometimes that is, okay, I'm envisioning a linen shirt and blue jeans. Or for me, I'm wearing this beautiful silk shirt this morning. Like, is it just about the clothes? Is it just about the hair? Is it just about the makeup? Is it just about the outer accoutrements? No, absolutely not. However, I have personally found that when I can see myself, I have a vision of who I want to be. And sometimes it's gussied up and sometimes it's quiet and casual in my relaxed Saturday afternoon clothes. But either way, I know that's me owning my power. I can visualize it. So you can start, here's a little pro tip. You can start visualizing what that outer version of you looks like. And then imagine who you would need to be to breathe into that outer version, to really embody that outer version. So it's not separate from yourself. It's not this mask that you're wearing, but is the truth of who you are. So I've had many experiences like this, but I'll share one that was recent. I went to visit some colleagues of mine and we met down in a hotel lobby and I walked downstairs to meet them for dinner. And there were four of them, one right after another, separately in their own way, said, "Oh my God, look at you. You're, and they were using very kind words, you know, beautiful, gorgeous, glowing, look at your hair, look at your dress. I wore a dress just because you were going to be here." Like there was all this overflowing of acknowledgement. None of it really had to do with how I was dressed. Okay, maybe a little bit. But like what they were really tapping into was that I have this power that I own when I walk in a room. And I could have been wearing jeans and a t-shirt. But when I own my power and walk in a room, people can sense that. And there's an integrity to it. There is a truth to it. There is that the inner and the outer match. And that's what I want for you, because when you own that, few people do, and you're going to stand out. And this is going to allow you to captivate other people. They will want what you have. And sometimes I do a double take when this happens for me.
Hey, Amira here. Want to know more about what keeps uber successful women from achieving everything they want in life? Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
And so let's talk about what I did to embody this. What did I do? Because it didn't happen overnight, but now I know exactly how to teach it. And I want to lay out a few steps on this. So first, it's really about knowing what you desire. What is it that you want to create in this world? And who do you need to be that woman? That desire that you hold is the thing that's going to call forth the truth of who you are if you do it correctly. When I was beginning this process, this was years and years and years ago. I had a very clear desire. That desire was to make $1 million in a year. And at the time, I had just made just a little over 100K. And I started envisioning who that woman was and who I needed to be that woman. And I reiterated again and again, I kept thinking about this. Who does she need to be? How would she be in this world? Not just the decisions that she was making, that too, not just how she set up her business, but how she spoke, how she walked, how she talked, how she interacted with people. I knew that that woman was incredibly respectful of other people. So I had to clean up my act around that because I realized I would rush through things and I wasn't respectful of people. There were many attributes of that woman that I had to really study and learn. Now, you might say, okay, you're creating someone who's not you. But that was not the case. The case was I knew that that was who I was. I just wasn't being her yet because I was conditioned to be someone else. So I had to unlearn the old conditioning and learn this new way of owning myself. And this meant I had to walk like her, talk like her, breathe like her, dress like her, yes, and really become comfortable embodying her. And there was dissonance there in the beginning because I wasn't her yet. So it felt silly or awkward to be that way. And I felt like I was playing an act. But this was different than acting as if or faking it until you make it. It was really taking the time to live into and embody the person I wanted to be. And yes, in the beginning, it feels uncomfortable, but do it anyways. And some of the things that I noticed were that that woman created space for herself, created time for herself. And so one of the first things I started to do was creating time in the morning to get dressed. I didn't want to be rushed every morning. Now, I still have a pretty straightforward routine in the morning. It's not that complicated, but I take time to pick out the clothes I want to wear and do my makeup and do my hair and wear the shoes that I want to wear that make me feel sexy and powerful and comfortable. Sometimes I'm looking for comfort, right? Like I take the time for jewelry. I've just added really delicious perfume. Like I've had good perfume, but I am in a deep dive into some very exquisite perfumes right now. And I take the time to live into that sensual journey of taking myself into the world for the day. So that was one of the first things I did. And I also, you know, gave myself time in the morning. That was another key component. Now, a lot of people don't get good sleep. They get up to the alarm. They're rushing all the time. They jump out of bed and they're just straight into the world. I have found for me personally that giving myself a few hours in the morning just to myself has been a game changer. Now, what I do in my morning routine has been different over time. Historically, that was around studying the laws of the universe and some deep philosophical work and applying it to my life and business. But as time has evolved, this has become meditation. This has become deep thinking on the business. This has become doing nothing and just being there. This is my quiet time to do whatever I want with. And yes, sometimes I will have a brilliant download and I will do some work because I trust myself to do what I need to do. And I don't need to make it same thing every day. I don't need that. I'm disciplined enough to know that I will get my life and my work done without that. But if you're someone who needs a little bit more discipline, you might want to do the same thing every morning. But that has been a game changer for me, giving myself 2 to 3 hours of time in the morning. Now, for those of you who are like, what? I'll never have that amount of time. I've got kids. I've got this ginormous business. I get it. I totally get it. I go to bed really early. Okay. That's my secret. I don't stay up super late. I'm in bed 9 p.m. You'll see me basically asleep. And that allows me to get up super early. And sometimes I'm up at 4 a.m. The other thing is that meditation, when I am in a deep practice of meditation, I actually need less sleep. So the more you meditate, the less sleep you need, at least for me. While we're talking about meditation, I want to be very specific here. Meditation was a game changer for me. I had the same monkey mind that everyone else has, and I thought I couldn't meditate, but I have found the secret key to meditation. And I, you know, it's too much to talk about here on this podcast, but it's something that is absolutely critical to bring into your life if you want to embody the truth of who you are. Because what meditation does is it gets you tapped in to the wholeness of the universe, the oneness, the allness of everything. And when you're tapped in like that, you connect so completely to the wholeness of who you are. And that is a game changer when we talk about embodying our own personal captivating power, embodying our strength, embodying our elegance. So we each have our own captivating power. We each have our own type of strength and elegance, our own way of finessing life. And when you meditate, you tap into the wholeness of who you are. And that amplifies all the things you do on the 3D physical plane, like walking and talking like the woman you know yourself to be. The next thing that I want to talk about is how I shifted my relationship with time. I already talked about giving myself 2 to 3 hours in the morning before any meetings, any obligations, any need to show up for anyone else. But I also had to change my relationship with time. Now, truth and transparency, there are times where I don't have a good relationship with time and I get rushed and stressed just like everyone else. So there's no perfection here. But I've done a lot of intentional work on creating spaciousness. That looked like not overfilling my day with too many tasks, too many meetings, not stacking meetings back to back to back to back to back to back, to back all day long, stopping work at 3:34 in the afternoon so that I can go work out or go walk the dog or have a shift in my energy. Now, that was incredibly challenging for me to do because I used to work 12, 16-hour days. And I thought that that was the key to my success. And I didn't understand that by doing less and providing myself more spaciousness, I would solve more of the challenges in business more quickly and more opportunities would come to me. And not only that, but I felt so much better all day long, like that joy and delight, that love of life was there. And that allowed all sorts of synchronicities to happen. And it makes your job as the leader in your life, the leader in your business, so much easier because things start happening on their own. When you embody your strength and elegance, when you embody your captivating power, you have one of the keys to truly sustainable success. I want to give you a quick little example of this. I've done many sales conversations with people. I'm sure you have too. If you are in business, you have sales conversations, whether you're selling to people that you are hiring or you're negotiating a deal or you're selling to a new client or an existing client. You have to sell the concept of what you want the other person to step into or do. So we're all used to having sales conversations. I remember when I first started doing sales conversations, I used to have a lot of time scarcity around them because I had read someplace and heard someone teach that you should be able to have a sales conversation in 20 minutes. And I thought, oh, I need to rush this and push this. And there was all this energy. Well, I got over that pretty darn quickly, but I still had a bit of scarcity of time. And often, you know, because there's always various ups and downs in business and there's cash flow cycles and like a little scarcity of money as well. And like, I have to make this sale or everything was riding on this years ago. And when I learned to settle into myself and settle into owning the truth of who I am, and I was able to have a different relationship with time and money on sales calls. And this made a huge difference. So I could just show up and give what I knew to be the most valuable things that the person needed in the moment, not demanding a sale in the moment. I was listening. I was seeing if the person was an ideal client or the interviewee was an ideal team member, but I wasn't pushing. There wasn't an undercurrent, an energy of striving or demanding. I was sitting back in my confidence and giving from a place of full self-ownership. And when I was able to do that, when I learned that, when I mastered that, it was like this finesse that set me apart because no one was used to that. They weren't used to someone not pushing so hard to make a sale. And it was disarming and it actually built confidence. And I stopped caring if it was one conversation or five conversations. If I felt like someone was the perfect person for whatever I was offering, I would continue the conversation. And this seems like counterintuitive, that is a waste of time to have conversations like that or take that kind of time, not push, not maximize your hours every day. But what it turned into for me was incredible depth of connection with clients or team members or whomever I was talking to that created a level of loyalty and quite frankly, cash flow that is far and above what I was creating when I was pushing hard. Plus, it felt better. It felt better to have those kinds of intimate conversations, to be truly relatable to people, to really show up for them and serve them, not asking for anything in return until that became the clear next step. And that is a perfect example of what I mean by sustainable success and using your captivating power, your confidence, your inner strength, your elegance, your finesse to run your business. And one of the things I hear all the time from women entrepreneurs, business leaders is that how do you balance? How do you create self-care? And the rub here is that when you fall in love with yourself to the point where you're captivating yourself, you want to give yourself that self-care. It's not just a theoretical idea. It's not just an intellectual desire. It's not just a should. It's what you're drawn to and you feel worthy of it as well. So it's a little bit of which comes first, the chicken or the egg. Do you fall in love with yourself? Do you captivate yourself first? And then you start doing these things that are tending and caring to yourself with a capital S? Or do you start tending and caring to yourself in order to fall in love with yourself and captivate yourself? It's both. It works both ways. And it's an upward cycle. Okay. So in summary, we're looking at really getting clear on the woman who is in receiving the desire that she is yearning for, whether that's the financial goal in her business, the other business success that you're looking for, or something in your personal life like manifesting the love of your life or a great health or a great body. You have to see the outcome that you want and become that woman. And you have to start living into her and embodying her through who you're being, how you're breathing, how you're walking, how you're talking, how you're moving, the choices you make, the words that you use. Next, you have to give yourself time. It's really super, super important. It's time in the morning. It's time during the business day. It's ending work at a particular time so that you can take care of yourself and your needs. It's actually giving yourself time in the middle of the day as well. Okay. It's slowing things down. Slow is the new fast. I love saying that, but it's so true. It's like I used to think that I had to move really, really, really quickly to get everything done. But in fact, I get more done now moving slower. But I didn't flip a switch. There was an evolution. I had to set things up in my business, and there's a whole strategy for doing that in order to be able to really live into this slow is the new fast kind of strategy. And then one last thing that I want to bring in here, in addition to the meditation and tapping into wholeness, you also have to tap into trusting the universe. And this means trusting the people on your team. And again, if you don't have good people on your team, it's most likely because you don't trust them. It's most likely because you have some beliefs around how other people show up and that you need to take care of everything. So in addition to meditation, which taps you into wholeness and is super, super important, you also need to take that to the next level, which is trusting the universe to be supported. And this means not doing everything yourself. Sometimes this means handing it over to trusted people on your team. Sometimes it means learning to trust people on your team. Sometimes it means letting go of people on your team that aren't there working at the level that you need them to be. But those are all the tactical things that come along with leaning in and to this leap of faith, if you will. And that is a big deal and part of what's required to really own the truth of who you are in your own captivating power, to embody your own elegance and strength. It's the sense of really, truly trusting the universe. Because when you do that, you are so confident, extremely confident in how you show up. In summary, you have access to your own captivating power. It's innate in you. And when you use some of the transformative strategies that I've shared today and others, you can access your inner strength, your elegance, your finesse in this world, and create a kind of sustainable success that is easy on your body and is delightful in your life and great for your bottom line. Okay. Now, as a reminder, we have that little meditation embodiment exercise that goes along with this podcast. I spoke a lot about meditation. If you want your copy of that, please go to theunstoppablewoman.com/captivating. You'll get not only this short little exercise, but you'll also get the other prompts and exercises, bonus material that we are putting together for this podcast series on captivating power. So just go to theunstoppablewoman.com/captivating and get your bonuses now, and we'll see you in the next episode in this series on captivating power. In the meantime, live exquisitely. I'm Amira Alvarez. I am the founder and CEO of The Unstoppable Woman, and I can't wait to watch your life become exquisite.
Most ambitious women I work with already have good lives, possibly even great. But there's often this one area that is fine as is, but not yet exquisite. And yet, when we unlock that one area, they access a whole new level. I want to personally invite you to book a complimentary call with me and discover what that unlock could do for you. These calls are for women who have done at least a million or more in their business or executive career and are ready for an exquisite life inside and out. You can book our conversation at theunstoppablewoman.com/connect.